I've got to confess to you, after Christmas, I'm a bit fresh out of big whiz-bang ideas. It's just a bit of a kind of, you know, whoa. And then another family service comes along. But today we're looking at our motto text. Every year around this time of year, it's one of those times to take stock, isn't it? It's one of those times to think about how you're going to be this year. Things might be coming up in your family. You might have a birth expected, a new baby on its way. You might have a wedding coming. You might have exams coming or tests. You might be changing schools. All kinds of things might be happening for you. You might be trying to decide whether to apply for that job or whether you're waiting to even find out whether you've got a job. You might just be trying to work out how you're going to get through this year without somebody that you love. All sorts of things. Well, fortunately, the magazines and the television and the newspapers are there to help us with their self-help questionnaires, looking at how you can find out how to make life better. What kind of a person are you going to be this year? Are you going to be really good at home, always tidying your room up this year? Yeah? Fantastic. We've got one hand here that's saying yes. Maybe you're going to be a better neighbour to the person who you know in your street who struggles, and you're going to get past their gatepost once this year and say, can I take you to Tesco's? Maybe you're going to resolve to do your Bible readings or to be part of this, that or the other at church. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's about how you're going to find your new love this year. Maybe it's about all sorts of different things. So, we've got a bit of a questionnaire this morning that Peter sets us with our motto text. And you've all got your motto text in front of you, I hope. It's there on your little card. I'll say a bit more about the card in a minute. But this is the first question, I hope. There we go. Peter begins this verse by asking this question: will I make Christ my Lord? What a good question to begin with at the start of the year. Is Christ going to be your Lord this year? Yes? No? Maybe. Some of us will say yes, some of us will say no, and some of us will say maybe. It's about how we bow down to God, how we say to God, I will do what you want me to do. I'll listen to you and I'll do as I'm told. I'll follow you and I'll be obedient to you. I will put you on the throne of my life. That's what Peter is asking. Will you make Christ your Lord this year? Big question, isn't it? But it's how our verse starts at the beginning of verse 15. What might that mean to you if God becomes your Lord? You might have known him for a long time. You might have been a Christian for a long time. I've been a Christian since I was 4 years old. That's a long time ago now, frighteningly. Is Jesus my Lord, though? Do I bow to him? Do I ask him the way to go? Do I listen to him? Do I put him first? What is your answer to that when it comes to setting the year that is to come? Second question. How many hours a week is a disciple of God supposed to be active? I put that picture in there of Joe Whiting, because if you're at the back, you might not be able to see that it's Joe, but it is. It's not an age-related thing, this, you know? It's not an age-related thing. How many hours a week are we supposed to be active as disciples? Sundays only? Some of us, that's true. Weekends and evenings? They're the keen churchgoers, aren't they? They're at all the meetings and, you know. Or full-time? Full-time. It's full-time. It's easy to be a disciple in here on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half. If you're a bit keener, twice come this evening, you'll hear a much more detailed, expanded exposition of this passage. It's pretty good if you can come and you can come to things in the week and you can be part of different things in the week. That's pretty good. But there's a whole lot of other time where Peter says, you know, you've got to be a disciple all the time. In our passage, in our reading, it says, when someone asks you about hope as a believer, always be ready, he says. Always. Not just here and now, but always be ready as a disciple to do the Lord's will, to be active in what the Lord wants you to do. I don't know whether it's still the case in the Beavers, but you have a motto, don't you? I hope it's not the brownies that I'm thinking of. What's your motto? Can you remember? Go on. Be prepared. Be prepared. Always be prepared. Not just, you know, every now and again if you feel like it, but always be prepared. And that's what it's like as a disciple. That's the second thing to think about this year as we begin with this text. Thirdly, how are you in training for 2018? If you're going to always be prepared, what is that preparedness? Have you thought about that? Some of you may have a wedding this year. We had a wedding last year, and kind of from this point onwards, it was all about getting into the dress. Not me, obviously. But it was all about being prepared to be the right shape and, you know, all of that. It was all about being prepared with the decorations for the marquee. It was all about being prepared with the invitations and buying all the stuff that we had and the food. And it was about being prepared. Some of you will have big exams, or you'll know people in your families who have big exams. They're being prepared now to sit those exams. How are we being prepared? Well, I'm preparing by going to church every week. That's how I'm preparing for this task that God has set me this year. Well, that's okay. But honestly, you know, church, it's good, but there's so much more. George Carey, before he became Archbishop of Canterbury and before he went slightly crackers in some respect, he said, when he was at the church in the marketplace at St. Nick's in Durham, he said, we should not have a petrol station mentality to our faith, where we just go in and top up once a week and then just run around without any further encouragement. So, well, you can come to church on a Sunday. That's great. We love having you here, and there's lots to learn and lots to enjoy. And it's even better when you see Colin doing what he does. I mean, he surprises me every time he stands up here. You might say, well, okay, I'll go to church and I'll join a house group. That's a really good thing to do. We've got lots of house groups, each one with a different personality, where you can go and in a very easy way, look at the Bible a bit more, find out a bit more, see what else God has to say to you either in the middle of a week or every other week. Or you can be really keen and you can say, well, I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to join a house group. I'm going to have a quiet time every morning, or every evening, or the middle of the day when it suits me, to open my Bible and pray to the Lord just on my own, or perhaps with another trusted friend. And I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be active for God. That full-time action. Peter says, be ready. Always be ready. Don't think that you can just be a Christian because it's there inside you. You need the backup of what it means of fellowship, of teaching, of worship, of prayer. You need it all. We all do, you and I. Be prepared. Get yourself ready. Think carefully about how you're going to be in training for this life in 2018 as a Christian. Next, do you think it is better to say something or nothing to people who ask about our faith? Well, for some of you, you'll say, it's just better to say nothing.
No.
Well, I know you wouldn't say that. None of the Beavers would say that. If you ever go to the Beavers meetings, they can't shut up. It's fab. Some of you might say, yes, it's better to say something. You've got to say something. And some of you say, well, yes, but what do I say? Well, that's part of the preparedness, isn't it? Thinking about what we say to people. Think ahead. Think about the people that you might meet. Think about what they need to hear. We were saying, I'll just check this isn't the next question. No, it's not. We were saying this morning at 8 o'clock that, you know, it's about when somebody says to you, how are you feeling today? And you say, do you know, I'm really good. I've got so much to say thank you to God for. I can't stop saying thank you to God because of my family or because of my health or because of my job or because of whatever it is. How are you today? Not so good, really. I'm not well, but, you know, as a family, we're praying about it. And we're asking the Lord to guide us into who might be the right specialist or how we cope with the pain or the change in lifestyle or whatever. How are you today? I'm really good, but actually there's somebody in our family who's having a difficult time and we're praying about it and we're trusting God because, you know, we can't talk to them because they don't listen to us. Your children don't listen to you, do they? But God listens to us. And so me and my wife, we're talking to God because we can't talk. Say something. In every conversation, bring Jesus into the conversation. Say something. You don't have to ask anybody else to believe it, but you can tell them that you do. You can tell them that God is important to you just by dropping it into the conversation. How are you today? Not very good. I'll pray for you. Is that okay? I'll remember you in my prayers. That's an innocuous thing to say, unless you work for British Airways or the NHS or something, I don't know. But just in conversation. Bring God into the conversation. Why would we not? Even if you don't think you're the greatest theologian, and thank the Lord if you're not the greatest theologian. I mean, having a conversation with a theologian is just turgid sometimes. Just tell them what's on your heart. Tell them what Jesus means to you. Who's asking? Who is it who wants to know about God? Is it those in the church? Well, kind of yes, because we're here wanting to know about God. Is it those at home? Yeah, could be. Could be those at home. Those you spend your easy life with. Those at work. I don't know if everybody at work wants to know about Jesus, really. Really, I think it's probably not something to talk about at work. I remember going to see somebody, not in this congregation, in the place where they worked. They were a pillar of the church. And I went to visit them in their office, as I've done before. And I said to them before I left, shall we just pray before I go? And they were like, yes, you can pray if you want to. And they were really spiritual in church. I mean, really spiritual in church. And in their office, they had a glass office. And I sat there and I bowed my head and I closed my eyes. And as I prayed, I peeped. And they were sitting at their desk, absolutely rigid upright, eyes wide open, so that nobody would see that they were praying. You know, Peter says to us, everybody wants to know this. Everybody needs to know this. Always, if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it to everybody. In the verse that's printed in our Bible, it says, everyone who asks you, everyone, everyone. So it's no good sitting there thinking, oh, I wonder who I can tell. Because actually, the answer is everyone. Think of a name, there it is. Think of a situation, there they are. Everyone, Peter says, everyone. What do people outside want to know? You know, we get terribly navel-gazing when it comes to what do people want to know about God? And the most important things that we're discussing might be the gay debate. That's really what's really important in the church. Or male headship, that's really what's important in the church. But actually, outside the church, what people want to know is, why do you love Jesus? Why do you love Jesus? Why do you come here? Why do you sing the songs that you sing? Why do you pray? Why does it make a difference to you? That's what people want to know. Sadly, once they get deeply into the church, then they get bogged down in all these other terribly important questions. But at the beginning, what they want to know is, why do you love Jesus? Why does he make a difference to your life? Why are you willing to say to people that you're a Christian? Why are you willing to give up your lie-in on a Sunday morning to go to church when you could just be sitting with toast in bed that your wife has lovingly brought you? She's hiding. So that means there's just one question left when it comes to our motto text. Why do you love Jesus? What Peter says is, think about it. This year, think about why you love Jesus, so that whenever anybody asks you, you can say, this is why. This is why it matters to me. This is why I have hope in my heart. This is why I'm not despondent. This is why I put myself in Jesus' hands. This is why. If somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Fortunately, this year you've got your self-help guide. Okay? So firstly, think about what it was, what it means to you to know Jesus. Think about that. Go home this week, today, whenever, and actually sit and think about, what does it mean to you to know Jesus? Write it down on a post-it note or a postage stamp or an A4 piece of paper or whatever it is, and then tell somebody who understands what you're talking about. Find a Christian friend who you trust and who understands your Christian language and say, can I just tell you what Jesus means to me and see what you think about that? Does that make sense? Does that sound right? Have I got it right? And after you've met with them and talked with them, then try and write it down in a way that any old Joe can understand, that anybody can understand. He doesn't have to be churchy, doesn't have to know the lingo, just has to know what it means to hear somebody say, this is why I love God. And then pray for a chance to tell that story to somebody. Get on your knees and say, Lord, put me in front of somebody who needs to hear this, who wants to ask this. Give me the chance to tell my story of why I love you. And then come back and tell us, the family of the church, that we might be encouraged and that we might encourage you, and that together as a church, we all begin to tell our story. That's our motto for 2018. If you want to hear more about it, we're talking about it tonight. But that really is all you need to know. I pray that the Lord will put it in our hearts and that we will be a people who will respond to his call. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, you have given us hope in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, give us hearts and mouths to speak it, bodies to show it, and lives to live it to those who are around us seeking it for themselves. Amen.